Brad, thanks for taking time out to have a quick chat with me. Because I watched the film a couple of weeks ago and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. So I just wanted to congratulate you on that.
Thank you very much.
To actually find out, where exactly did you get the inspiration to write such a script like Bullet Boy?
Well, cause, I mean, I suppose, you know, the kind of the area of the story I was thinking about for a while, I suppose, and it was crystallized probably about 3 years ago, just reading, you know, reading stories that were coming way down in the pages of local papers, and feeling like these were, you know, these were kind of everyday tragedies that weren't really getting, you know, there were a lot of kind of myths surrounding all of the stuff that was happening, and it was a chance to make a film really that tried to get underneath or behind some of those headlines, and got some money from the BBC to do some research with some young people, really, just to see, you know, how they were looking at life from their perspective, and started working with Catherine Johnson writing the script.
Okay. I mean, there's very documentary feel about it. I know that's your background. But is that what your intention was when you were making the film?
I think the intention was to make a film, you know, that people would just go and see and want to go and see and you know, think of as a piece of cinema, really. But at the same time, I still wanted to keep some of those documentary elements in it that just felt natural to keep, like, you know, shooting with available light, improvising so all the performances would feel spontaneous and very natural, and casting people who had, to a greater or lesser extent, an experience of the kind of roles that they were playing, and also to shoot in a, you know, shoot in a real location, not go off and shoot on sets and all that kind of stuff, you know, so it kept a bit of, it had the feeling of real life to it.
Okay, and I mean, why pick Asher Dee to play the lead role?
Well, I picked him, you know, basically because he's a very good actor, and I mean, we all know he's kind of got two personas in a way, you know, there's Asher Dee, which is what he's been known for more recently, but, you know, I'd heard of him as Ashley Walters, seeing him in a film called Storm Damage, which I think he did when he was 15. And he just, you know, from that, he seemed like a really great actor. And then I met him, and he's just, he's got a maturity beyond his years. You know, he's only 21. He's obviously had a lot of life experience, and some of which was able to kind of feed into the film. He was able to understand the character, although the character in the film is very different to who he is. Mm. And it just felt like an obvious choice.
And, you said that, you know, the character to you is very different to Asher Dee's own, you know, personality. I mean, how different?
Well, I suppose it's, you know, growing up in a very different situation, very different family environment. I mean, lots of things are different. I suppose the reason why I'd say that is because people often would like to think, because of what Ashley's been through, that the character in the film is somehow, you know, based on his experiences, which it isn't, you know. And you know, obviously Ashley was brought up to be a child actor from the age of 5, and, you know, went to Sylvia Young Theatre School, was acting, and obviously became a bit of a celebrity and all of that stuff, and the stuff in music. You know, the Ricky character is not like that at all. He's much more, he's come from a much more kind of ordinary, you know, average background. He's not had any of that, those experiences that Ashley's had.
There was a few things that really struck me about the film that I just thought, you know, made it so powerful. You know, just little things like, you know, the music that you use in the film. So music that, you know, the community can, you know, can kind of relate with, and, you know, the mothered experience and the experience of so many young men today and gun culture. How did you actually collect and, you know, all the information and formulate such an effective portrayal?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's a really good question. And I think collect is a really good word, because that's what you do. And you collect it from lots of people. I suppose, you know, making the film, I was open to people's suggestions, you know, at points. So when I was talking about music, I was thinking about things and what would be using to, you know, to kind of set generations apart, I suppose.
And where did you get the idea to use Janet Kay's Silly Game?
Yeah, that was a suggestion from Mark Booth, one of the film's two producers. And I remembered it and just thought it was great. And he said, look, trust me, put this in and, you know, a certain percentage of the audience will really connect with this. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to us, that we tried to, where in all the details, make all the details really feel truthful. Do you know what I mean? Not general, but just who, what would they have been listening to this age, what would they have been listening to at this time, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And we tried to do that really throughout the film and in all the details.
And what was your aim for the film, do you think? What was the message you wanted to get across?
I suppose, you know, I'm wary of saying, of films with messages, of saying we've got a particular message. I think we've got lots of, you know, there are lots of questions in there which the audience can kind of take away and talk about and think about if they want to afterwards. I suppose the main thing I think that the film does really well is make the audience, put the audience in the shoes of its main characters for 90 minutes and look at the world from their perspective and the choices that they have. And I suppose just try and understand where they're coming from mm-hmm. a little bit better and to, you know, to understand that this is a situation that affects, you know, ordinary people who have got aspirations and, you know, have got kind of loving family relationships and all of these kind of things. It's not something that we can just say is the preserve of, you know, gangsters or yardies, all of that kind of nonsense that's bandied about when people talk about guns.
Yeah, how did you go about doing the research and finding out about other people's experiences?
I suppose to start with, you know, I'd already had the idea before I did any research, you know, and it was basically just about family. And, you know, obviously, in terms of families, we all experience families and we all know the dynamics between, you know, brothers and mums and all of that kind of stuff. So really what I went to do the research about was just, you know, what it was like for people within families who are young, maybe like 15, 16, well, actually maybe 12, 13, 15, 16, who were actually living in an environment where guns were around them. And just talking to them about their experiences of it, what they felt about it, if they'd ever seen one, what they did when they saw one, you know. And to try and, you know, what was coming across, I suppose, was the innocence of those kids. Although these things were happening around them, they were still just ordinary kids, you know, but who'd been at a party when somebody had let off a gun, you know. Yeah. So they were kind of ordinary people, but with this extraordinary experience. Okay. And obviously, you know, when I went to go and look for those, you know, there's only some people who've come into contact with that. Do you know what I mean? So I went to particular kind of youth projects and talked to people who would have an experience of that.
Obviously, it's been compared to Boys in the Hood simply because it's probably the first time where we've seen a film that's actually put the reality of, you know, young black men and gun culture today on the big screen. I mean, in your eyes, do you actually think it can be compared to a film like Boys in the Hood?
Well, I suppose, you know, you're right in saying that lots of people have compared it to that. I think, you know, in its most basic terms, as you've said, that it does deal with those kind of things. But I think it's probably got a very different approach, I think. I think it's got a very British feel to it. And, you know, in some ways, a much more low-key film. It's a very unsensational film, I think. And it's not a glossy film either. So I think it's, you know, obviously that's, in many ways, a great compliment. It's a very, very successful film, and it changed the way people thought about making films in America, you know, and open up a gateway to lots of other kinds of films coming through. So, but I'd say in its actual feel, I'd say it's very different.
My pick, that particular ending.
To talk about the ending is actually, you know, it's a really good question because we agonised over what the ending should be. Mm-hmm. And we shot a couple of different endings. And I suppose with this one, you need to be left with a very strong feeling of loss, but also a feeling of hope.
Yeah.
So, and actually the feeling of hope was much more important than the feeling of loss. And it was to really shift the focus onto the younger brother and to put a question out for the audience, really, about what's the future of Curtis, who's 12. That's what I'd say I want people to kind of leave the cinema thinking, is what is the future of this 12-year-old boy?
That's brilliant.